This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, June 11th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, some concerns about the chemicals inside many soaps, shampoos, and cosmetics. Also got a forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Senate President Emil Jones says talk of impeaching Governor Rod Blagojevich should not be used to divert attention away from passing an operating budget and a capital bill. His comments came in response to a memo from House Speaker Michael Madigan, which spells out how legislative candidates can call for impeachment hearings for Blagojevich. The Associated Press obtained a copy of the 14-page memo, which offers detailed talking points on the merits of impeachment. Jones says impeachment isn't warranted, and he thinks it's wrong for the Democratic speaker to promote it. Madigan spokesman Steve Brown says the talking points were developed in response to questions from candidates about impeachment. A major state employee union believes that the state is breaking its contract by withholding information. Amanda Vinicky has more.
The union known as AFSCME formally filed charges this week against the state for unfair labor practices. At issue is information about Governor Rod Blagojevich's proposal to move approximately 100 Department of Transportation jobs from the capital city to downstate Illinois. AFSCME spokesman Anders Lindahl says the union asked the state a month ago where the new site will be and a list of employees whose jobs will be relocated. Lindahl says the state refused.
We believe that's a violation of our contract. We believe that they've acted in violation of state labor law, and we've asked the Illinois Labor Relations Board to look into the matter.
A Department of Transportation spokesman says those questions can't be answered because the matters haven't been decided. He says the state is and will continue to abide by the union contract and give location details once one is picked. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A Paxton man facing drug charges alleges that local police used racial profiling for a series of traffic tickets prior to his arrest this spring. 41-year-old Paul Bigham, who is black, was ticketed 8 separate times by Paxton police in just over a year's time. And in March, officers allegedly found cocaine when conducting a search warrant on his home. Bigham has pleaded not guilty to the drug charges. His attorney, William Duringer, says police issued the tickets in an attempt to get his client to leave town. He notes that all but one of the tickets was dismissed.
It is curious that there's this number of arrests for, you know, I won't say all of them are small stuff, but most of them are small stuff. And, you know, why are those arrests being made? I mean, police can arrest most everybody for anything on traffic things if they really want to, but they don't generally do that.
Duringer has filed a series of motions, including one that asks for disclosure of the traffic charges. A hearing is expected before the end of the month. Bigham also has a criminal record in Champaign County, which Duringer says should have nothing to do with the drug charges. Bigham has been on parole since 1995 for an armed violence and felony theft conviction. He remains in custody in Ford County on the drug charge, and a trial is expected in the next few months. Paxton's police chief, Robert Bain, declined to comment on the case. Authorities in Will County have identified the body of the man pulled Monday from the Kankakee River to be that of a man reported missing. According to the Will County Coroner's Office, 46-year-old John Newburn was pronounced dead at the Lower Chippewa Campgrounds. It's about 3 miles southeast of Wilmington in unincorporated Custer Township. Newburn is identified through fingerprints. Kankakee police are investigating the circumstances of his death. Champaign City Council members say they don't like to hire consultants, but the City Council has voted in committee to do just that for a study of the maintenance needed on city buildings. The city will spend up to $40,000 to hire a local firm, Architectural Spectrum, to come up with long-term plans for keeping city buildings in good condition. The study could later be expanded to include a look at building space needs. Councilman Vic McIntosh voted no. He says the study could easily be done by city staff for less money. And he says the consultants don't know everything, noting consultants who he says were wrong in planning past library and police buildings in the city that the city quickly outgrew.
I guess I get pretty frustrated sometimes, too, with consultants, because I know we've got staff that probably knows enough. Most of the consultants get their data from our staff.
Champaign's Public Works Director Dennis Schmidt says city staff may not have time to do the maintenance study for a while because they'll soon be working on a major maintenance project. The city building's masonry says that's a major reason for hiring a consultant. The maintenance needs study will look at 15 buildings, including the city building, the police building, and the city's 6 fire stations. If Champaign council members approve a contract next month, Schmidt says the study could be completed by year's end. Champaign school officials want to organize a wide range of business contributions under one form of recognition. In turn, they hope the new A-plus business partnership will encourage more firms to become involved in Unit 4 in some way, including donations of time or equipment. But community outreach coordinator Lauren Smith says those contributions do have their limits.
If they are actually volunteering during the day in a classroom, it is strictly with literacy or reading or something like that. They would not generally be coming in to do a presentation about, you know, ways they could bank or open an account at this bank, something like that.
Even so, Smith says there are lots of opportunities for businesses to pitch in, including volunteer mentoring or tutoring, club organization, or financial contributions. The first project recognized under the program involves electronic whiteboards donated to Bottenfield School by a local bank. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Consumer advocates say children might be at risk because of the soaps we use. They say most shampoos and cosmetics contain a chemical that might cause cancer. Julie Grant of the Environment Report tells us they want the government to clean up the products.
Moxie Rose has been running around all afternoon. She's this tiny 2.5-year-old, and she giggles as she dumps her toys and spills juice on the carpet.
Moxie, you know better.
She's excited when it's time for a bubble bath. And so is her mother, Kalila Pickings. Once Moxie gets into the tub, she finally quiets down.
And normally when we have bubble bath time, I just sit right here and let her do whatever she needs to do. Her a minute to calm down and me a minute to calm down.
Kalila says she hasn't thought a lot about it, but figures if the stores can sell kids bubble bath and lotion, it must be safe. But some consumer advocates aren't so sure. David Steinman started worrying about the bubble bath his kids were using. He heard bubble bath might have something called 1,4-dioxane in it. The Environmental Protection Agency lists it as a probable carcinogen.
I took the products they liked and some others that were from other companies to a laboratory to have them analyzed to see if they did contain this chemical, and they all had it, every single product.
Even the products labeled natural. Now, you won't find 1,4-dioxane on ingredient lists on the back of the bottle. It's not added to soaps and detergents. When other chemicals are combined, they create 1,4-dioxane. It helps make soaps foamy and work well. Steinman says that when children get into a warm bath, their pores open and they can soak the chemical right into their systems. Studies show that 1,4-dioxane causes cancer in lab animals. Scientists are debating how much those findings in rats and mice apply to people. Bob Hamilton's company sells soaps and dishwashing liquids under the Amway label. He's an expert on the regulation of soap.
There is not a concern based on the best scientific review that has been done over many decades. The levels that are found are minor contaminant levels that are well below any concern levels as expressed by regulators in every country around the world.
The U.S. government doesn't really have any standards for the amount of 1,4-dioxane allowed in products. And even though the EPA lists it as a probable carcinogen, the agency says the tiny amount in consumer goods is still safe. Consumer advocate David Steinman says the government only looks at the amount of 1,4-dioxane in each product individually. No one considers that we're using bubble bath, soap, lotion, and dishwashing detergent every day.
When do a lot of little bits of chemicals become a whole lot?
Steinman wants consumers to force change. He wants people to buy only the soaps that don't contain 1,4-dioxane. But single mother Kalila Picking says she's already overwhelmed with trying to be a good mom. How's she supposed to know whether products have 1,4-dioxane and if it's a real concern or just something environmentalists are worrying too much about?
If it hasn't hurt anyone and if the people aren't like getting cancer or some crazy weirdo Ebola virus soap causing disease, just leave me alone. I got enough to think about, okay? It's just me and her here. I don't have time to think about the soap that I'm using.
Picking says she doesn't really trust the government, but she has to assume if it allows the products on the market, they won't hurt her little girl. For the Environment Report, I'm Julie Grant.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
We have another day of dry weather for a change across the two-state area. Meteorologist Ed Kieser says it'll be sunny today with highs from 82 along the Chicago lakefront to 90 in the south. Champaign-Urbana's high 87. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy, lows from 62 in northeast Indiana to 70 in west central Illinois, 66 in Champaign-Urbana. And for tomorrow, we may see some clouds move into northern west central Illinois with scattered showers and thunderstorms arriving during the afternoon. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow from 84 in northwest Illinois to 92 in the south. Partly to mostly sunny and windy in Champaign-Urbana with a high of 89. Looking ahead, some showers and thunderstorms developing Thursday night after midnight mainly, a low of around 70. And on Friday, cloudy with periods of rain and thunderstorms and a high of 82. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, June 11. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.